comedy panel show. Yes, it will be dark by 7 o'clock, but Frank makes everything bright. One person found this helpful is our comedy this evening. And as they say in the world of online commerce, if you like that, you might like this.
On BBC Radio 4.
Did he write Twinkle Twinkle Little Star?
Mozart's music is all over our pop culture. He composed over 600 pieces in his short lifetime.
He didn't actually write. It was already a piece of music.
He sampled it.
I'm Greg Jenner, and together with the comedian David O'Doherty, the historian Dr. Hannah Templeton, and the BBC Concert Orchestra, I am digging deep into the life of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Next you'll tell us he didn't write Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus.
We're the comedy podcast that takes history seriously. We're called You're Dead to Me. This is our Mozart special. And it's on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Next Saturday morning at 10.
This is One Person Found This Helpful with your host, Frank Skinner.
Hello, yes. I'm Frank Skinner, and welcome to One Person Found This Helpful, a show where we dive into the world of online reviews, where everyone claims to be an expert, mainly because that's easier to spell than connoisseur. So, please welcome our four-star panel. On my left is Simon Evans and Anya Magliano, and on my right, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Sonil Patel. We go on to the first round. This round's called What Am I Watching? Each team's going to hear two real reviews left by people who've watched a movie, and you have to work out what the movie is. If you can't get it after that, I'll give them a third review, but that'll be 1 point, not two. It can be anything from the Super Mario Brothers movie to the really terrible Mario Brothers movie. So we'll start with Simon and Anya, and here's your first review of your mystery movie. It's short and sweet, and it simply says, that was the best 1.5 hours of middle-aged white dudes yelling at each other that I've ever seen.
Well, that was every movie before about 1994, wasn't it? Good old days.
How many hours?
1.5 hours
That's
of middle-aged white dudes.
That's not going to be a
useful clue. Yeah. And a middle-aged...
Middle-aged white dudes yelling at each other. It's not GB News. Try this. Everyone can identify with at least one of those characters. The thinker, the sensitive man, the arrogant bully, the opportunist, the loudmouth, the slime ball, the emotionally withdrawn. It is GB News. Sorry, Simon. No, it says they're all here. Welcome to society, folks. I dislike society in the main. This guy also reviews society. OK, then, Simon and Anya. Thinker, sensitive man, arrogant bully, opportunist, loudmouth.
Is it Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
I wish that had been their names.
What about 12 Angry Men? They are angry men in the title, and they shout a bit, and they are kind of archetypes, aren't they?
Simon, you are a very fine quizzer. It is 12 Angry Men. It was indeed 12 Angry Men, starring Henry Fonda, made in 1957, as was I. It was all set in one stifling hot jury room, and it's famously a film with a tremendous social conscience. Although, to be fair, as one reviewer pointed out, I just know that room smelt insane. OK, now Kiri and Sunil have to hear some reviews and guess their movie. Here's the first one. This movie's so beautiful, and I want a little barking ottoman.
I don't think I know what an ottoman is.
It's like a footstool, isn't it?
I think a little barking ottoman's what I want is from Lou Bega's Mambo number 5. Yes, you're quite right, an ottoman.
Did you have a brainwave?
I thought it might be a film where... things come alive,
furniture
right? Can we hear one more? And because I'm very invested in winning.
You can,
this.
But you must say you look confident. You got that. Kiri looks like my dog looks when the tennis ball comes out.
Thank you. The hair
is slightly raised. The eyes are a bit wider. Excitement. Here we
go. I've got worms as well.
Can I just say my dog has not got worms? Okay, better than some of the other princess movies. The problem is blank isn't strong or resilient or brave. That's just what she is compared to all the other princesses who came before her. And all of them are dummies who can't stick up for themselves. My other problem with this movie is that the end is all romantic and gross.
I think it's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Yes? Do we think
they,
so?
They've clapped already.
Which version?
Which version?
The one with the Ottoman. That...
No, I'm going to give it, it the cartoon.
The original. Do you know what? That's such a great film, because it was so great to have a Disney princess who read and, you know, craved knowledge. But I can't be the only one in this room who, when Beast turns into a human, he was less fit. Wasn't he much fitter as a beast?
Yeah.
Defo!
I actually dated a candlestick from a woman who portrayed a candlestick in the stage version.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, I did. I went out with a candlestick. We split up when I found her in the library with Colonel Mustard. It is true, though, I did date a candlestick. The other bit isn't true, the Colonel Mustard element. Although she was keen. Yes, it was Disney's 1991 Beauty and the Beast. And I'll leave you with one unimpressed reviewer who said, "Still don't really get why she ends up with a really big bear and not the sexy candle." Yeah, I know what you mean, mate. A tale as old as time. Okay, what's the scores on the doors, Anthea? Currently, Simon and Anya are on 2 points, and Kiri and Sunil are also on 2 points. Okay, this round's called What Did I Buy? People always review their online purchases, and we don't just mean on Amazon, but on all sorts of niche websites like Leafly.com. Don't know if you know this, it reviews medical marijuana-based products, where we found this genuine review that said, "Definitely a nighttime smoke. Leaves you feeling damn high, but unable to get off the couch. I'm completely sizzled off one bong. It took me 20 minutes to write this." So each team is going to hear a couple of online reviews of a product or service, and they have to work out what it is. If they can't get it after that, I'll give them a third review, but that will be just 1 point instead of two. So Simon and Anya to start. You're up first, and here's your first review. "They're okay, but finding a used cigarette butt inside the bag does diminish the pleasure of using them for your children's party."
Inside the bag.
Drugs. Is it drugs?
Yeah, if it was drugs, it wouldn't be the cigarette butt.
Oh, yeah,
using
that's a good
them
point.
For your children's party, maybe. I should say the review, this is true, was genuinely titled OK Bot.
Oh, right.
Two T's.
Oh.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot.
I mean, anything you could buy in a bag for your kids' parties, yeah. Like, I don't know, popsicles or cap guns or.
I'll give you a second review.
Yeah.
I think this one will help. "I thought it would be fun to fill the floor of my son's room with these while he was sleeping so that he would wake up to a birthday surprise. Cut to midnight and a sobbing newly four-year-old. The blanks started popping. I ushered them downstairs and away from the bedrooms. All night we could hear pops from the kitchen below us." And then brilliantly they go on to say, "Perhaps the carpeted floor is sharp in a way I had never noticed." So something that pops.
Balloons.
They are balloons.
I was going to say maybe hamsters, but that wouldn't be...
So you got it in two and get 2 points, but I want to read the third review because I like it. "Dreadful. All burst after a few hours or whilst being tied. They were not overinflated as I used an inflation gauge for sizing." You can imagine the conversation. "Jeff, I heard you got sacked by the balloon company." "Yeah, I did, but I tell you what, they're not getting that inflation gauge back." OK, so well done, you guys. And now it's time for Kiri and Sonil. Remember, you hear two reviews and then you have to decide. Need the third one and you only get 1 point. And it could be anything, a product or a service or even just a chain of shops. So what merited this review? Bad muffin. Horrible. It's raining today and I thought, I'll cheer myself with a nice sticky toffee muffin. I got home, it's hard, the sticky is just yuck to eat, and on top, it made my mood worsen. All that walk and not enough snack in my home. Food is supposed to be comfort food. Customers deserve to get what they pay for. I must have an expired muffin or not defrosted muffin properly. This is a bloke with the same syntax teacher as Yoda. The saddest thing about this, they actually typed, I've tidied it up a bit, they actually typed deforested muffin.
Which I think you can't say that on Radio 4.
No, no, I think that's part of the preparation for vajazzling. So have you any idea what they might be reviewing?
A muffin.
From anywhere in particular.
Oh, it's from a particular shop, right.
They can't just, not generic muffins. This will help, I think. Okay. Went into the Melksham branch. Asked for a hot vegan roll. No, sorry, they are cold. OK, are the Mexican vegan bakes hot? No. Have you got any vegan product that is hot? No, but we have a hot sausage roll. Honestly, no hot vegans. Yeah, I can abandon my search.
As a vegan, I find that deeply offensive.
Yes, quite right.
But also, I know exactly where we are now.
Yeah. Go on.
A shop which, I mean, you've got it written down so you can test this afterwards, but I know everyone else in the audience will know it as well, because it is a shop where whatever time of day you go in there, whatever you want, they say, as they hand it to you, it's only just warm. I don't know how they managed to get all of their products tepid. It is 1, 2, 3. Greggs.
Well done.
Yes. There's enough scum in here to get that over the line.
I feel we should have applauded the audience for that. I like the idea of community answering.
He has got Greggs written down.
I wrote it down. No, I promise,
oh, God, it's gone a bit like Countdown. Yes, it is Greg's.
Can I just say, I find it a little bit disturbing the confidence with which you expected a Radio 4 audience to be so familiar with Greg's. I mean, not a single dissenting voice for Gales.
So, yeah, it is Greg's. And something about it inspires the review in public to a sort of poetry. Listen to this person. Complaining not unreasonably that both the vegan and the non-vegetarian pies and pizzas are all being heated in the same fan ovens. So the heat circulates from one to the other. Or as they put it, the mist of meat sticks.
I think if you had your own fragrance, it would be called Mist of Meat, Frank. Yeah.
Mist of Meat by Lanfrick. So, we come to the scores. Still absolutely neck and neck. Simon and Anya 4, Kiri and Sonil 4. Oh, how shall we break this deadlock, Mr. Holmes? Anyway, the next round's called Did You Keep the Receipt? We've all seen the stuff online that you simply can't believe exists, or in some cases shouldn't exist. Like this one I saw, it's a Playmobil, which is great, but it's a vulture and carrion remains set. And it comes with, and I quote, a lifelike skeleton for the vulture to gnaw on. You know, for kids. It's set number 4503, by the way, if you have a nephew you don't like. So, teams, I want you to big up the most extraordinary thing you've seen on sale, and I want reviews as well. If I like it, you'll get more points. So, persuade me. And we're going to start with Simon.
Well, I have chosen an artwork which I discovered on Amazon, which portrays a corgi, the popular Welsh dog, beloved of our late Queen, riding on the back of a velociraptor and carrying a spear. And it's only a print of this. It's not the original. So a number of people have made. In fact, there are over 500 reviews and it is a solid 5-star product. Here are a couple of reviews in case you're still hesitating. It was a really tough choice between sharks with laser beams on their heads and this one, but the Corgi Velociraptor ultimately won. Just as cute in person as shown, I also got the Tom Baker llama, which will go with my other... So obviously this is a genre I wasn't previously aware of, yeah. But this is the other important review. This one bought it for somebody as a gift. Cave Dog the Corgi was purchased as a gift for my stepdaughter, who's always had a thing for corgis. She's not necessarily a fan of velociraptors, but they're universally liked, so I took the risk.
I used to have one of those painting. Well, it's not a painting, it's a sort of print. And if you stand one side of it, you'd see Jesus. And if you went the other side, you'd see Mary.
Yeah.
We had that at home.
Well, slightly textured finish.
Finish, and you just move and it would change. And I think you could have one of these where if you go to the other side, the velociraptor is on the corgi. And there's a caption that says, "Later that day." I have to say, of course, you describe it so beautifully as ever, Simon. I'm tempted to chuck in an extra pack.
Thank you very much.
Anya, what did you unearth?
Well, I've got something that I think is equally beautiful, but in a different way. I think it's also quite like it's an essential item in many ways. I've got a muscle man pillow. I'm sure that needs no further explanation. I'm sure we've all got one at home. It's a pillow that is the torso of a man, with his arm out so that you can snuggle up into it. It's missing the head and anything below the torso. Mm. So you can have a peaceful night.
Yeah.
It's a great review. It's got unanimous 5- and 4-star reviews.
Oh, okay.
This review says, "The pillow is very soft and cuddly. Wish it was a bit wider in the chest area. It's more child size. Great as a neck pillow whilst travelling, though, and I will use it for that."
Okay, so that takes us to Sunil. What terrible product have you found?
Right, okay, I found something. This really stuck out to me. It's 55 gallons of lubricant. And it comes with its own barrel as well. It comes with a barrel, a pump. Yeah, that's it.
Does it suggest what its use is?
It says passion. It's used for passion.
It says what?
For passion.
You know, like when people say, "I'm passionate about making sandwiches."
Yes. These people are passionate about...
It's for passion. And what's the quantity again?
55 gallons.
Very passionate people.
It's for very passionate people. People who experience a lot of... dryness. Oh, right. Passion, yeah.
God, I can remember the enthusiasm and optimism that I would have bought that much. Only to have a great deal left behind. That is... and it's a keg.
It's a keg. It's an enormous barrel, yeah. But yeah, it's easy to decant because the pump is quite big.
Oh, you'd want to decant.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants a bedside keg.
But you can
get it all over your man pillow.
Definitely, with the size that the world is, there's definitely someone somewhere with a corgi riding a velociraptor snuggled into a man pillow just pumping out.
Or you could just take the lid off and dip.
Hovering above it.
Are there any reviews for the
there's many
keg.
Reviews. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of laughs in the room, but some people aren't having a great time.
No.
Well, this is the first review I found. Be warned, the seller will not accept return of open and partially used barrels.
And that's by F. Skinner, that one as well.
What else we got? Beware, no instructions.
Well, I like it. It's dark.
Yeah. Is it?
Mine was. But I went for the molasses. Kiri, can you complete this fabulous quartet?
Yeah, I'm going to make you part with £40 of your money with this product. I'm going to read your review first, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I genuinely can't put into words how much I love this. It's quite possibly the best thing I have ever purchased in my life. Her name is now Morgan Blumenthal, and she is treated like a member of the family. It is a taxidermy model of a mouse on a stripper pole. And I think that's worth 40 quid of anyone's money.
When you say taxidermy, it was a living mouse.
It was a living mouse. It has been stuffed and then sort of assembled. It's called Rogue Taxidermy, that style, I know, as a collector. Genuinely. Yeah.
Do you have a roadkill section? This is one of the... I do like odd taxidermy.
I've got some Rogue Taxidermy pieces. I've got a little duckling with a little top hat on, and it's got a flick knife in one wing and another duckling's head under the other, and it's called Quack the Ripper.
I'm going to give you an extra point as well, just for your collection.
Thank you so much.
OK, so where does that leave? I haven't really helped now, though, have I, with my generosity? Because it's still absolutely neck and neck. Simon and Anya, 7, and Kiri and Sunil, 7. OK, this next round's called Where on Earth Are We? And it's about absolute unmissable destinations. And when we say unmissable destinations, we mean really good, like the Taj Mahal, not actually unmissable, like a speed awareness course for parents' evening. Not like that. So, Simon and Anya, you're going to hear a couple of reviews of a tourist attraction or a famous landmark. If you don't get it after two reviews, you can hear a third one at the cost of a point. So here's your first one. I can't imagine any self-respecting alien would be too pleased about having their reputation tarnished by having anything to do with this half-hearted accident.
So it's something to do with an alien's reputation?
Yes.
That should narrow it down.
Unless it's crop circles. Mars, I suppose.
Can we have another review?
You can. This trip was my second time visiting blank. Would love to go during the winter solstice or summer equinox, though.
So it's somewhere that was built by aliens. Because it's too clever for human engineers to have cooked it up.
Speaking of clever, I've got a note here from our producer, which says, he's putting the words in my mouth, but no one would believe I knew this, so I'm going to say he wrote this bit. I don't know much about orbital mechanics, which he does. It's true so far of me. But I'm pretty sure if there's a summer equinox, then the Earth has been knocked off its axis.
Yeah, that's right. Summer solstice, isn't it?
I can't remember the difference between equinox and...
Equinox means equal night, so you remember. So that's in September and March.
Okay.
And solstice is shortest and longest days.
When I said I don't know the difference between solstice and equinox, I was talking about the twins in my son's class. You're quite right. The alien bit might be bogus, but maybe some people think that the alien was involved in
it's
the
either
design.
Like one of those like pyramids in Mexico or maybe just Stonehenge.
I guess Stonehenge.
You think it's Stonehenge?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It is Stonehenge. Anyway, I want to give you one more of these. The worst experience of my life, you're herded around like sheep, bussed up the road, dumped on the curbside and then roped off from the stones. The psych security were awful to a free-spirited lady who was trying to sing folk songs outside of the fence.
I'm on their side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Restore some faith in the British security forces.
I have to say, I went there and they were really lovely to me at Stonehenge. But that, I suppose, is to do with my national treasure status. But me and Stonehenge are pretty close in the old league table. OK, let's see if Kiri and Sunil can top that. What go-to destination received this review? The most disgusting place I've ever been to. I went in with my boyfriend and we didn't get any warning of there being people stripping. So they were completely naked. No warning, and there were loads of people who were naked. This is not right. I'll be suing if I don't get some sort of compensation. I'm scarred for life. It's not affected me mentally. Are you physically scarred, then? Is that what's happened?
Was it... the last house party I went to at St Neil's when he'd ordered that massive barrel.
What, you had a keg party? isn't there such a thing as a keg party? Okay.
I mean, why wouldn't you know before you... I would know.
You would know if you have to get naked somewhere.
I would know if I was going somewhere where someone was naked.
No, it was a changing room at the local baths. That'd be rubbish.
Do you know, it could be a show.
Oh,
just went. So I was thinking
that
something...
Show.
Yeah, do you want me to guess?
Moulin Rouge. What if it's the Moulin Rouge?
I was going to say Magic Mike.
This might help. I'm a foreigner. I'm reading this. I'm a foreigner and I came to this club and had the best time of my life. The music was incredibly good, the drinks were cheap, and the people were very welcoming. I do still recommend to keep good care of your belongings. I like people who put a positive spin on being robbed.
Yeah. So it's a club where everyone gets naked.
Yes, but you do have a good time.
Yeah, you would.
Not Stringfellows or...?
I mean, it can't be Stringfellows, can it? That's so obvious.
Obvious.
Is it? Shall we?
Oh, the audience don't like it, and they've been very good to us so far. Is it Greg's again?
Do your Greg's trick. Do your Greg's trick again. Obviously, it's...
What do you think it is?
I've been to this club and not... I didn't see anyone naked.
Is it in Ibiza, that massive...
Oh, what, like Ministry of
Sound? As I say, I've been to this club. What? I mean, no one loves foam more than me. But I'm not travelling that far.
I do think this is the hardest one so far.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, OK.
Well, I'm going to give you a third clue. Okay.
Thank you.
Showed a bartender I had a mouldy orange in my drink. He said, oh, gross, and walked away. Does that help?
This is hard, isn't it?
This is, yeah.
Is it a jazz club?
I don't think they get naked.
I'm in Ministry of Sound. That's the biggest club I can think of.
Frank Skinner at Ministry of Sound.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't normally be there.
Well, look, people have got to get home.
Okay, we're doing Ministry of Sound.
All right. Okay, Ministry of Sound. I'm afraid it was Heaven.
Oh!
Applause. The legendary gay nightclub in central London. Suddenly the barman saying... Gross and walking away seems okay. I've never been much of a clobber, but I have to say this 5-star review on TripAdvisor did shine an interesting little light on nightclubs in general. The vibe was amazing and the medical staff are absolutely incredible. So let's have a look at the final scores with a last-minute rush. Kiri and Sonil are on 7, but Simon and Anya are on 9. I'll leave you with an Amazon review someone left having bought a second-hand book by Aleister Crowley, of all things. And it said, this is the review, I bought this book for $8. There's 72 demons in here. That's 11 cents per demon. You can't beat value like that. Goodbye.
One Person Found This Helpful was hosted by Frank Skinner and starred Simon Evans, Anya Magliano, Kiri Pritchard-McLean and Sunil Patel, and was written by Frank Skinner, Catherine Brinkworth, Sarah Dempster, Jason Hazley, Rajiv Paria, Cole Mins, Katie Sayer and Peter Talouche. The show was devised by Jason Hazley and Simon Evans with the producer David Tyler, and it was a Positive production for BBC Radio 4.
This is BBC Radio 4. Next Monday at 6:30, Alfie Moore, policeman turned comic, will be back, taking us through real-life crime scenarios. He'll kick off with the case of the hunt for an infamous bike thief. There's more comedy on Radio 4 Extra this evening. In a minute or two, we have an episode of Many a Slip from 1978, when contestants are challenged to spot mistakes. Here on Radio 4, after the news, Jolene makes a statement in The Archers.
It's 40 years since the Terminator travelled back in time to become an instant movie classic.
It's not just a machine, he's a machine covered with flesh.
But did this science fiction film also predict the future?
We're beginning to see autonomous and semi-autonomous machines on the battlefield.
I'm Beth Singler, an anthropologist specialising in artificial intelligence. Now for Radio 4, I'll be exploring the Terminator's legacy and how it shaped our view on AI.
This is science fiction about a future that we should be aware of. because it's not one that any of us really wants.
I'll be back, 40 years of the Terminator, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, tomorrow morning at 11:30.